Welcome to the OCR GCSE Psychology Study Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics on your specification, memory models. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode has everything you need, from core theory to exam technique to a quick-fire quiz at the end. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Memory is one of those topics that feels familiar because we all use our memories every day. But in psychology, we study memory in a very specific, scientific way. And the examiners at OCR want you to show that you understand not just what the models say, but why they matter, what evidence supports them, and where they fall short. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to do exactly that. Let's begin with the big picture. There are two main theories you need to know for this topic. First, the multi-store model, proposed by Atkinson and Shiffrin in 1968. Second, the theory of reconstructive memory proposed by Frederick Bartlett in 1932. These two models take very different approaches to understanding memory, and the exam will test you on both, so let's go through each one carefully. The multi-store model. Atkinson and Shiffrin propose that memory is made up of three separate stores: the sensory register, short-term memory, which we call STM, and long-term memory, which we call LTM. Information flows through these stores in a specific sequence, and each store has its own distinct characteristics in terms of encoding, capacity, and duration. Let's start with the sensory register. This is the entry point for all information. Every second, your senses, sight, sound, touch, taste, smell, are bombarded with information. The sensory register holds this raw sensory data very briefly. The duration is just half a second to 3 seconds. The capacity is very large. It can hold a huge amount of information, but here's the key. Most of it is never processed further. Only information that you pay attention to gets passed on to short-term memory. This is why attention is so important in the model. It acts as a gateway. Now, short-term memory. This is your conscious working memory, the information you're actively thinking about right now. STM has three defining features you must memorize precisely, because vague answers will not earn you marks. First, encoding. STM encodes information acoustically. That means in terms of sound. Even when you read written words, you tend to convert them into a sound-based format in your head. Second, capacity. STM can hold 7 ± 2 items. That's between 5 and 9 items. This was established by George Miller in 1956, and it's a specific number you must know. Third, duration. STM lasts approximately 18 to 30 seconds without rehearsal. After that, information is either transferred to LTM or it's lost. It decays or is displaced by new information. The key mechanism for moving information from STM to LTM is rehearsal, specifically maintenance rehearsal, which means repeating information over and over. Think about when you repeat a phone number to yourself before you can write it down. That's maintenance rehearsal in action. The more you rehearse, the more likely information is to be consolidated into long-term memory. Long-term memory is the final and most permanent store. LTM has three key features. Encoding. LTM encodes information semantically. That means in terms of meaning. You don't just remember the sound of a word. You remember what it means and how it connects to other things you know. Capacity. LTM has an essentially unlimited capacity. Duration. LTM can last a lifetime, though be careful here. Examiners will not give credit if you say LTM is simply permanent. You must qualify this by acknowledging that retrieval failure or interference can prevent us from accessing memories, even if they are stored. Now, what's the evidence for the multi-store model? The key study here is Murdoch's 1962 serial position effect experiment. Murdoch asked participants to learn a list of words and then recall them in any order. He found a characteristic U-shaped curve. Words at the beginning of the list were recalled, well, this is the primacy effect. Words at the end of the list were also recalled well, this is the recency effect, but words in the middle were recalled poorly. Here's the crucial part that examiners want you to explain. Why do these effects occur? The primacy effect occurs because words at the beginning of the list had more time to be rehearsed and transferred into long-term memory. The recency effect occurs because words at the end of the list were still held in short-term memory at the time of recall. They hadn't decayed yet. This U-shaped pattern is powerful evidence that STM and LTM are separate stores, just as Atkinson and Shiffrin proposed. Now let's move on to the second major theory, Bartlett's theory of reconstructive memory from 1932. Bartlett had a very different view of memory. He argued that memory is not like a video recording. It's not a passive, accurate copy of what happened. Instead, memory is an active process of reconstruction. Every time we recall something, we don't simply play back a stored recording. We rebuild the memory. And in doing so, we are influenced by our schemas. What is a schema? A schema is a mental framework, a package of prior knowledge and expectations about the world. We develop schemas through experience. For example, you have a schema for going to a restaurant. You expect to be seated, given a menu, order food, eat, pay, and leave. If something unusual happens, your schema might cause you to misremember or distort the event to fit your expectations. Bartlett demonstrated this beautifully with his War of the Ghosts study. He asked British participants to read a Native American folktale, a story that was culturally unfamiliar to them, containing supernatural elements and an unusual narrative structure. He then asked them to recall the story at various intervals. What he found was remarkable. Participants did not recall the story accurately. Instead, they made systematic errors. They omitted details that didn't fit their cultural expectations. They rationalized strange elements to make them more familiar. They transformed supernatural events into more logical explanations. And sometimes they confabulated. They added details that weren't in the original story at all, but that made sense within their own cultural framework. This tells us something profound. Memory is not reproductive. It's reconstructive. We use our existing knowledge and expectations to fill in gaps and make sense of what we've experienced. This has important real-world implications, particularly for eyewitness testimony in legal settings. Now, let's talk about evaluation. The examiners want you to go beyond simply describing these models. You need to evaluate them, and that means using specific psychological terminology. For the multi-store model, one strength is that it has strong empirical support. Murdoch's 1962 study provides clear experimental evidence for separate STM and LTM stores, as shown by the serial position effect. The model is also parsimonious. It provides a simple, elegant explanation of memory structure. However, a weakness is that the model is reductionist. It oversimplifies memory by treating STM as a single, unitary store. Later research by Bedele and Hitch in 1974 showed that STM is actually more complex. It has multiple components, including a phonological loop, a visuospatial sketchpad, and a central executive. Another weakness is that the model lacks ecological validity. Murdoch's study used artificial word lists in a laboratory setting, which doesn't reflect how we use memory in real life. For Bartlett's theory of reconstructive memory, a strength is that it has high ecological validity compared to the MSM. Bartlett used meaningful narrative material rather than word lists, which better reflects real-world memory use. The theory also has important practical applications. It helps explain why eyewitness testimony can be unreliable. However, a weakness is that Bartlett's methodology was not very scientific. He didn't use standardized procedures, and his analysis of participants' recall was subjective. This makes it difficult to replicate his findings reliably. Now, let's talk exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. You also need to know how to apply it under exam conditions. First, command words. When you see the word describe, the examiner wants you to state what something is with supporting detail. When you see explain, you need to go further. You need to show how or why something works, linking your points together. When you see evaluate, you need to make a judgment, using evidence to support and challenge the theory. Second, ao um, ao dois, and ao três. OCR GCSE psychology has three assessment objectives. AO1 is knowledge and understanding, describing what the theories say. AO2 is application, using the theories to explain a scenario. AO3 is evaluation, critically assessing the theories using evidence. For the 13-mark extended response question, you should aim for roughly 1/3 description and 2/3 evaluation. Structure your answer with a clear description first, then at least 3 distinct evaluation points. Third, application questions. These are AO2 questions where you're given a scenario. For example, Tom is trying to remember a phone number he just heard. You must link every psychological point you make back to a specific detail in the scenario. Don't just say, information in STM decays after 18 to 30 seconds. Say, Tom's memory of the phone number will decay after 18 to 30 seconds because it is held in STM, which has a limited duration. Fourth, the most common mistakes. Number one, confusing capacity and duration. Capacity is how much STM can hold, 7 plus or minus 2 items. Duration is how long it lasts, 18 to 30 seconds. These are different things. Number two, when asked about the theory of reconstructive memory, don't just describe the War of the Ghosts study. The question is asking about the theory, schemas, active reconstruction, distortion. The study is evidence for the theory, not the theory itself. Number 3, saying LTM is permanent. Always qualify this, say potentially lifetime duration subject to retrieval failure. Now it's time for your quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions and you try to answer before I give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the capacity of short-term memory? The answer is 7 plus or minus 2 items, between 5 and 9 items. Question 2. What type of encoding does long-term memory use? The answer is semantic encoding, based on meaning. Question 3. What does the primacy effect tell us about the multi-store model? The answer is that early items were rehearsed into long-term memory, supporting the idea of a separate LTM store. Question 4. What is a schema? A schema is a mental framework of prior knowledge and expectations that influences how we encode and recall memories. Question 5. Name one way in which Bartlett found participants distorted the War of the Ghost story. Acceptable answers include omissions, rationalizations, transformations, or confabulations. Question 6. What year did Atkinson and Shiffrin propose the multi-store model? 1968. Question 7. What is the duration of short-term memory without rehearsal? 18 to 30 seconds. How did you do? If you got all 7, you're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those specific points. And remember, the numbers are crucial. Examiners will not award marks for vague answers like a short time. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. The multi-store model, proposed by Atkinson and Shiffrin in 1968, describes memory as 3 sequential stores: the sensory register, short-term memory, and long-term memory, each with distinct encoding, capacity, and duration characteristics. Murdoch's 1962 serial position effect study provides strong experimental support for this model. Bartlett's theory of reconstructive memory from 1932 argues that memory is an active reconstruction influenced by schemas, mental frameworks of prior knowledge. His War of the Ghost study showed that people systematically distort memories to fit their cultural expectations. Both models have strengths and weaknesses, and the best exam answers will evaluate them using terms like ecological validity, reductionism, and empirical support. Remember, in your exam, be precise with numbers, hook every AO2 point to the scenario, and always qualify statements about LTM duration. You've got this. Thank you for listening to the OCR GCSE Psychology Study Podcast. Good luck with your revision, and remember, the more you practice retrieving this information, the stronger your memory for it will become. That's the science of learning working in your favor. See you next time.